Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. To Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Randy Fine, your show host. I've got another great show for you today. You know, we always hear that we are never alone. And some people really question that because when we talk about that, we're talking about the spirit world and things that we cannot see. And so it requires a tremendous amount of faith and trust to understand that we are never alone. But today, we're going to have someone who is going to talk about that and more. Today I have with us Lynn Cockrum-Murphy. She was here back in February 19th of 2016 to talk about her book, Living Hope, Steps to Leaving Suffering Behind. And she's back today. I'll tell you a little bit about her. Lynn, as an infant, survived a tragic house fire that claimed her father and two sisters and left her with severe burns over much of her body. She lived most of her life with a severely depressed and alcoholic mother, and through her stepfather being crushed to death in a logging accident and her mother being murdered in a barroom robbery. After all she's been through, Lynn is radiantly happy and living a life of pure service to the world. She can definitely teach us a thing or two. And today she's here to talk about her new book, Unfolding the Mystery of Self, We Are Never Alone, which is an Amazon number one bestseller in books and on Kindle. In this book, she explores the depths of her spiritual journey through New Age teachings, excuse me, Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism, and On the Road Less Traveled. Today, Lynn is an intuitive consultant specializing in bringing guidance to those who seek assistance with their spiritual path. In addition to facilitating physical healing, emotional growth, and removing blocks to a life of joy, meaning, and purpose. And we'll talk a little bit more about what Lynn does as we get started. But let me introduce you. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on, Randy. I appreciate it.
It's great to have you back, Lynn. Okay, so so you have this new book, Unfolding the Mystery of Self, and it's come out about a year later, year after your other book, or maybe not even quite. So why did you write this book?
It seemed that it was just a natural flow after the previous book to keep talking about spiritual paths. And the fact that we have such freedom to have whatever spiritual path serves us, and to talk about how those of us that are different, don't go with the traditional model, how awesome it is, how extraordinary it can be, and how it's not easy because you feel alone, contrary to the fact that we're not alone, but you feel alone. Also, my writing coach encourages us to just always keep writing, keep writing, keep writing. And it's funny that there's just more to come out. I've got two other books started after this.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, I've actually, your writing coach is Tom Bird. Is that who it is?
Yes, right.
Yeah, I've actually had Tom on the show talking about his method, and very interesting. He does bring books out of people.
He does.
So, So, the path of enlightenment looks different for each one of us. And so how do we know we're on our path of enlightenment?
Wow, that's a very good question. It seems that you get nudges and signs along the way that say, I'm becoming more peaceful. Triggers aren't triggering me so much anymore. I'm not inviting drama into my life. Or when it shows up, it just doesn't really matter. I can walk away. And then I find my awareness grew so that I noticed more and more things that are usually unseen, and now they're just part of life, daily life. So it's very progressive, very gradual and progressive, it seems. And I think it's also, you know, I think there are like two groups, too. There are those who are actively seeking it, and they know that that's what they want, and they have a practice that would bring that about. And then there are people who aren't actively seeking that, but they are changing and mellowing and, you know, being more connected to the totality, and it's happening for them anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I definitely see the two different distinctions. In people.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting when it does happen to people that are not seeking it. Often they don't know what's you know, happening to them, but they feel a change in the shift. Yeah.
I heard that it was how it occurred for Eckhart Tolle.
Oh, really?
That he was just miserable and unhappy and trying to get out of his unhappiness, and, you know, he had an awakening.
Yeah. I actually have a friend who, for years, well into his 40s, he did not believe in anything spiritual, consciousness, anything like that. He was just a computer geek kind of guy. And then all of a sudden, he started channeling all his masters.
Wow!
And
that's
it was crazy,
remarkable.
And it just floods through him. It's very, very strange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can happen at any point. I had a student come to me recently because he was very ill, and he wanted to learn alternative healing. And he's in his 60s, and he will be a spiritual master in just about 2 years.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, and that's like going from 0 to 60 in such a short amount of time. Amazing. Things are different than they were before 2012, and it's showing up.
It's definitely showing up. You know, I just remember years ago I couldn't even find two people to talk about this stuff with. And now pretty much everybody is open to it. So what have you learned? I know that, I'll ask you just to reinforce this. You were a student of Christianity at some time, right?
Right.
Or brought up in that faith.
Brought up in that faith, and yet found I didn't get the answers I was looking for, and that my family members, although they took me to church, they didn't seem to have the answers they needed either, that they were choosing alcohol over life.
Wow. Wow.
Well, and I'm not saying that, you know, you can't drink at all, but I'm talking about excess with alcohol.
Right. Is there a difference between what we get through religion and God consciousness that we get through our direct connection without the religious dogma?
They're so different to me that the teachings of a church can be very controlling and very shallow. Mostly we're just told what to do and how to think. I don't think they're all that way, but I've seen that, and that makes me terribly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Or within a church or a temple or, you know, any religion, there are much deeper teachings, but you have to go and seek that out, look for that. You know, what a theologian knows, someone who studies Christianity or studies religion, what they know is totally different than what is taught generally in a church. I love, you know, that when you can go deep, how amazing it is. So I don't think that dogma does us any good. I do know people who find comfort in the rituals of church.
Yes.
That they really like that. I don't relate, but, you know, if it works for them, that's awesome.
Exactly. You say in your book in chapter 14, the energy of life today makes some of the previous traditional spiritual teachings less relevant because everything is progressing much faster, that we're in a very special time period with great potential for self-realization, for enlightenment, you know, and changes in the earth's energy and vibrations. What's going on?
If you get into that, that's really there are people that are just totally absorbed with that. And lots of information on the internet. People believe that it's now time for complete alien contact, and, you know, our worldview will go from the world to the universe. For me, it's more that the potential in us is being unlocked, and that we can reach depths or heights that we haven't been able to before. That the teachings, well, like you said, there are more people that you can talk to about this, but the teachings that are available now, from Theta Healing to Access Consciousness to the other 100 things that are out there, there are people that know what's going on, and you can access them and speed yourself up.
That's true. And so do we need teachers to be able to reach our, you know, our highest level of consciousness?
I talk in Unfolding the Mystery of Self about how there's a Hindu teaching that there are two paths to enlightenment, and one is with a master, and this is a guru that you choose, that you follow for your whole lifetime. Even if the guru passes on, you continue to follow him. It is your master, and through that person you will reach your enlightenment. The other path is for the person who is engaged in work and family, and that's us, those of us who live in cities and do life, and yet we're on a path to enlightenment, that it's possible.
Okay.
So I don't accept the master/guru for a lifetime for me, but I have had many teachers along the way. And teachers can be someone who says something one day in a meeting and your mind just kind of opens up and you're like, wow, that shows me, you know, a new perspective. But it can also be a relative that triggers you and causes you to, well, because I choose to take things that make me unhappy and use them as opportunities for growth instead of just blaming the person, you know, because that was my, when I was younger, I would blame them and, oh, he was mean to me. And today, you know, it's more like, oh, I wonder why what he said bothered me so much, because it's really his stuff. So, wow, I got myself distracted with that.
But actually, it's a good direction. I mean, it's, you know, I do have a comment for that because, yes,
okay,
the greatest, our greatest teachers can be the people who gave us the hardest time in life. And I know for me, my parents were my greatest teachers because I had to do so much growth to overcome it. I am grateful for that, yes. And it's hard to be grateful when you're in the midst of the pain, but once you come through it, you can definitely see that the benefit of it. And the other thing was you were also talking about in this chapter about that many children that are born today called crystal children are more open and aware. In the past, they were rainbow, indigo, bronze, gold children. And this is definitely changing. As a matter of fact, I had a guest on at one point who this was, you know, her specialty. But, you know, children today are so much brighter and in touch than they ever were. Don't you agree?
I've seen some pretty amazing children in the last few years. But I also, you know, I have a student who is 13 now. And started with me when she was 12. And her awareness and gifts are remarkable. I've never, as a child, I never had anything like that. So I do see that. I also see this awareness of the highly sensitive person has grown. And that it's something that we now talk about, we acknowledge for people. And I see that in the children also. I think that I had a client that was an indigo, and he's an adult male. And watching his process with the world and what mattered to him was so refreshing. You know, he wasn't hung up on any of the ATVs and big Jeeps and, you know, owning a boat. That's not it. It was life and people that mattered. It's beautiful.
Wow. Wow. And you started, I mean, your first experience was at 2.5, right?
As far as I remember, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But when was it that you finally embraced it and began to expand on it, on your gift?
I would say in my teen years, because I was searching. I was so unhappy, and I was searching. And I started having little glimpses and moments, and people coming into my life. It was interesting how people come into your life, and then you have a choice, because some of them that came into my life that, you know, were into the metaphysical realm at that time were not positive people. And so, you know, I could see like, oh, this is kind of creepy, and walk away from that. But then there were other people that showed up. And so I'd take a class or I'd take a workshop, and things would keep opening up. But I, because of the trauma that I grew up with, I wouldn't say very stable when I was young, because I was so into that I'm miserable and it's got to get better and where's the answer. So, I mean, that's very positive. But I was living in Reno, Nevada, and the drug and alcohol influence in that town was pretty profound. And, you know, I was like 15, 17. It was really something. So I managed to get out of that by connecting with spiritual groups and really allowing myself to be guided, because I could see where I was headed. And because of my family background and the genetic propensity to alcoholism, that it was like, this is not going to end well if I don't pay attention.
Oh, my gosh. Right.
And follow a spiritual path. And it's really the spiritual path, I think, that saved me, or my own essence that wanted this to be a long, fruitful life.
Yes, absolutely. So you have 17 beings with you that you call a cadre. Can you explain what who these beings are and what they do for you or with you?
Mm-hmm. At that time, they were with me to get the book out, and it was really fun that I would be writing, and then I would sense this group around me and hear applause and laughter, And knowing that, wow, I'm in my own little world here, this is pretty cool, in a room with, you know, 40, 50 other writers. And because Tom Bird, the writing coach, attracts people that are more more spiritual, I would say, and
right.
more open and unusual. Because of that, I felt like, hey, it's fine. I'm not the only one here that's having odd experiences. Anyway, so they, you know, I haven't talked to them as a group in a while. What I do know, because I'm also a channel, is that the channeling has changed from, you know, how it used to be where a single entity would come through and you could ask their name and they would tell you and you would get guidance. And today it's way more like tapping into an energy that is God consciousness. And generally now they say that, you know, my name is not important. It's not about who I am and, you know, can you revere me? It's about what energy and message can I bring to you that will help you? So, I tend to not get names anymore. And although sometimes I can distinguish if it's an angel or just an energy.
Wow. There, you talk about the music of the 60s and how it hinted as to what was to come. And I've actually been listening to, you know, on Sirius Radio, I've been listening to those, the music of the decades, 60s and 70s. And
uh-huh.
And I agree with you. I've noticed. So you point out the messages like the time has come, the age of Aquarius, crystal blue persuasion. And I was thinking to myself, you know, yeah, where were they getting this information? Because it took decades before we started to see this. So what is your thoughts on that?
That's an interesting question. I presume, because musicians often channel information and music, you know, they'll wake up inspired. I would presume it's that it's their connection with the totality that was guiding them to put that out. But there were some really unique and progressive people in the 60s. You know, they were groundbreaking and ridiculed, but they were onto something. And so we haven't continued to live in communes and so on, but that was part of my experience, was to live in a Buddhist commune for a while I was in college and practice Buddhism with that group. And then later on, I moved into, it was a Christian metaphysical commune, and really let myself be changed by that experience, guided by that experience. So, but it was very peculiar because I received the Holy Spirit at that time and learned to speak in tongues and the laying on of hands, because the minister was very Pentecostal.
Okay.
And at the same, time, there was channeling and other kinds of things going on. So it was an amazing mix.
I once attended a Pentecostal church and, you know, with everybody speaking in tongues around me. It is such a bizarre experience. Oh, my gosh.
It can be disconcerting.
So you were able to tap into that?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, I still speak in tongues on occasion, but I studied what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the really beautiful things, the gift of discernment, to know that when someone contacts you, whether or not it's for your highest good to move forward with that person or to decline.
Mm-hmm.
Discernment's a great one, but tongues is another, the interpretation of the tongues, the ability to heal. It was fascinating to me to study that. And now it's just part of my daily life. And yet, you know, I don't use the word God as much as I use other names for God, because some people have been so traumatized by their religious experience being forced upon them, that that they're afraid of God. God is not a loving being for them. And so it's I try to be sensitive.
You know, I just I went to a bar mitzvah. I'm Jewish, but I'm not a practicing Jewish person because I, like you, did not find what I needed in the religion. So I'm just more of a spiritual person. But I attended a bar mitzvah recently, and I was reading the English of what they were saying, in what the boy was saying in Hebrew. And it was all about fearing God. And I got so uncomfortable. I got so uncomfortable. I'm like, I'm tapping my husband on the shoulder. I'm going, look at this, look at it. And he's going, shh, you know, don't interrupt the boy. But I got so upset because God is not to be feared, you know. And that really frustrated me.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say that if the perspective, the new perspective is that God is in everything, then God is in me, God's in you, and in the listeners here with us. And how can we fear that and be that? How can I love myself and love God if I'm going to fear it at the same time? That image of a father that will smite me down or tells me how to behave, that was another time period. And it's not relevant today. And the people that are still teaching that are stuck, well, I would say.
It's archaic. It's
stuck.
Archaic.
Right. So I could tell you something kind of unique and interesting.
Okay.
I'm speaking at a conference in Lugano, Switzerland, in November.
Ooh,
it's called Eve Consciousness. And the woman who developed it, it's about how there were these three – there are three different time periods of, I think she focuses on Christian teaching. No, I think it's broader than that. Spiritual teachings, let's say. And she explains what they were, but what the new time period is as God consciousness available as an awakening for all of us. And so I've been invited to be one of the speakers there. So if someone wants to look that up, Eve Consciousness, it's pretty fascinating. I like how she explains that archaic thinking and that it worked at that time. But it's irrelevant now. It's history.
Right. Yeah. What it does, it keeps people, instead of expanding their consciousness, it shrinks their consciousness to a very, very limited level. So you say healing works because of several factors. The creator does the work is one. The healer is the vehicle, two. And people must be ready to release the illness, three. So can you talk a little bit about, I know you do theta healing, color therapy, access bars, access consciousness, body work, and, well, Reiki we've heard of. But can you talk a little bit about the theta healing? Oh, you do chakra balancing and golden orb diksha. Okay. What is theta healing?
Theta healing was developed by Vianna Stibble. She is in Montana, near Bigfoot, Kalispell, somewhere up there. And she teaches internationally. Her method is to have you connect through a meditative state with creator of all that is. And from that place, you can create miracles. So very specific type of prayer. And yet it's not religion-based at all. It's about God consciousness also. So if a person came to me with a problem with their spine, I'm not going to heal them. That energy that is creators will do the healing. I may put my hands on them, and they may feel the warmth and the healing energy through me. But I don't use my energy at all. I'm not a miracle worker, but through me, through prayer, through awareness, miracles can happen. Yeah. So Vianna teaches that, and then I've taken courses from her so that I can teach it too. So I teach basic and advanced manifesting in abundance, and then after June I'll also teach one digging deep, was where you kind of get to what are the underlying causes, why people repeat patterns in their lives. So,
what about
what do you say about
what
that?
What is Access Bars?
Access Bars was created by Gary Douglas. It is a healing technique where you touch 32 points on a person's head. You have them lay on a, like a massage table, and you touch and hold these points on their head, and people just go into that state. They just get so mellow. It's beautiful. Often they fall asleep. Afterwards, they feel like they've had like the best massage in the world or more. For me, the first time I had it done, I stepped out of that person's house, and I saw the planet differently. I had such a funny experience. It stopped me in my tracks. It was, wow, I'm walking on a planet. This planet is out in the universe, and it is turning, and I'm, you know, it was just discombobulating. So it
wow.
changes us. Mostly what they say is it releases programming, beliefs, karma, up to like 50,000 years. And
amazing. Wow.
So, and the points correspond to different parts of our lives. So money or sexuality or body or joy. And so we know what the points are that we're touching. I don't think we know how it works. It was channeled information. It's a channeled technique, but it's easy to learn. I'm teaching my next class June 1st, and people love it.
Well, I would love that too. That's
mm-hmm.
it's
mm-hmm.
kind of like a natural LSD.
Yeah,
where you walk
yeah.
outside, and all of a sudden you're completely aware of everything. That's amazing.
It kind of shook the ground underneath me. And I think there are other times that things change and you don't really know what they are, but it doesn't matter because it's releasing. And then it's like inside you're like clearer, cleaner, and there's less, there's less old stuff to work through.
Very, very cool. And the other one that I've never heard of is the Golden Orb Diksha. What is that?
That's out of Oneness University in India. They have a program where they train you. So the phenomena and the gift was the training I went through. And that's where you learn to give Diksha. Diksha means blessing. It's a particular kind of blessing. And there are multiple levels of it. That was one of the first ones. I've experienced other levels of Diksha that are pretty amazing. You feel a shift. Afterwards, you feel healed. What's the other thing they do? The sacred chambers. It's a meditation and clearing process where you go and experience the sacred chambers. It's good stuff.
So if somebody comes to you with an issue, how do you know which modality to apply, or do you do all of them?
I ask them what they want. Different people prefer different things. The theta healing is a talking process. We are looking for underlying beliefs or karmas or things that we can release. For access bars is you get to be all quiet and mellow and fall asleep if you would like. So some people prefer that. They don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
So it just depends on the person. Diksha is a blessing. It doesn't take very long. You know, like chakra clearing, sometimes that's still relevant, and that's also part of theta healing. So that might get incorporated in, especially because so many people come to me and say, well, I never see anything. I don't have this gift of sight. And what we find is there's blockage of the third eye, and it was put there for a reason.
Mm.
And we help them release that, change that.
Right. Okay. Okay. Does everybody have the ability to see with their third eye, or do some people just get it other ways to get that sense?
Yeah, some people get it other ways.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, because there's, I think one of the great gifts is knowing. When you sit down to meditate, you ask a question, and in insight meditation, it's revealed to you. I call that knowing, and it's my favorite. But seeing words, sometimes people hear, you know, they'll hear words.
Right.
And other people get a lot of stuff sensory. You know, they'll feel it in their body. I tend
right.
to have a little bit of each of those systems working for me. But some people only have one or different ones.
Okay.
But everybody's
right.
got intuition, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And many people are channeling, tapping into other realms and don't even realize it because it comes through as, it feels like a thought
uh-huh.
often. And it's very hard to tell the difference between a thought and channeling. But when you realize that
mm-hmm.
you couldn't have known that information, and then all of a
mm-hmm.
sudden, it's not because you got smarter, it's because you got information.
Right.
And so, you know, I've asked you a lot of questions, and we're 35 minutes into the hour, but is there something that you really wanted to bring up that maybe I didn't mention yet?
Let's see. Well, let's go back to We're Never Alone.
Okay.
What you started with, that I talk about it in the book, is that my first experience with the two blue angels that stood by my crib and talked to me and comforted me. But it goes on from there that most of the people in my family, when someone has passed, that person has come back and visited them and comforted them or let them know something.
Mm.
And that's not unique to my family. I mean, that's stuff I read about in books before anybody in my family ever told me their own experiences. I love the story of my aunt who was undergoing surgery. She died on the table. And she tells that story of going to the light, the tunnel, family members there, how extraordinary it was. And then she realized that she couldn't go yet, and she explained her reasons, and she turned around and walked away from that and lived another 15, 20 years. So to me, that realm of where those beings that love us and want to comfort us, they're always there. Now, you know, I can also clarify that sometimes my father's off working on the other side of the planet and after he died. And so I don't have access to talk to him. But there are other times that I have talked to him and that he was with me for a long time after he died. Someone like my grandmother has been with me a lot. But then, okay, so that's like ancestors. But then we have guides. We have teachers that come in and are with us for a while we're learning something. And then there are the angels that are with us and the guardian angels, the archangels. It's pretty extraordinary. And so anytime you sit down to meditate, you know, if that's who you want to talk to, ask if they're available and will they talk to you. So that was
so amazing. So amazing. And like
yeah.
I said, you know, it requires a good deal of faith that
mm-hmm.
that the spiritual helpers around us. And, you know, and I read years ago that only the bravest souls come back to Earth School because this is a really challenging place. But we don't come here alone. We could not make it through life if we were just a physical being trying to go through it alone. We must have spiritual helpers. Don't you agree?
That makes perfect sense, that we don't come here alone because it is hard. And I think that people who believe that they're alone, life is much harder for them than people who believe that they're supported by angelic realms or ancestors,
right,
et cetera.
Right, right. I definitely agree. I definitely agree. Our time is coming to a close. So how can we get your books, Unfolding the Mystery of Self and Living Hope? Yeah, how do we get your books?
There are at least two ways. You can go into any bookstore and they'll order a book for you, any book you want. They can access it. Amazon carries all three of my books. And then my website is lynncockrammurphy.com, but that's Lynn, L-Y-N-N-E, Cockrum, C-O-C-K-R-U-M, with a hyphen, Murphy, MURPHY.com. And you can order through the webpage. There are also, if you just want to like get a taste of the book, there's a free chapter from each of the books on the webpage. There are some activities that you can print out just one page of from the website. So that might be a place to go.
Okay.
You can also access my classes and contact me through that webpage.
Okay. Awesome. Well, I hate to have to say goodbye because it's been really a great time. I've enjoyed talking to you. But I do have to say goodbye or we'll get cut off. So thank you so much. It was a pleasure having you back, Lynn.
Thank you, Randy. And I enjoy and appreciate your openness to all these topics.
Yeah, well, I enjoy being able to talk to you about these topics.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
So it's mutual. But but thanks again and have a wonderful day. And if you celebrate Mother's Day, have a wonderful one.
Okay, thanks.
Okay,
you too.
Bye-bye. And
bye-bye.
To my listeners, also all of you out there who are getting ready to celebrate Mother's Day, I hope you have a very happy one and that you feel blessed in your life with the women who are in your life, even if you're not a mother. So women are wonderful, so are men. But we're celebrating women now. But anyway, it's been great having you. Thanks for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.